had a habit of having a time in the year where we focus on our families. And you know, really it's vital to our church because as our families go, so goes Temple Baptist Church. And I want us to notice here in our text, the writer is visiting someone else's property and he's making some keen observations about it. And let's look at Proverbs 24 now in verses 30 through 34. The Bible says, I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction, and that's what we want to do tonight. Verse 33, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Now tonight, if after the service we all decided to come over to your home and pay you a visit, what kind of observations would others make about your dwelling place? You know, if you're anything like our family, we would make a beeline, you know, to the car. And we want to get home as quick as possible. The first thing we'd do is hide all the construction, remodeling that's going on in our house. And there's usually some project that's going on. So we grab those tools up and we'll throw those in the shed. And then, you know, it's a process of going around and getting all the kids' toys, throwing them in some box or some crate, and, you know, maybe throwing a few kids in with it and taking it somewhere where you can hide that. You know, then it's, you know, dishes. There's any dishes sitting out that are dirty, whatever, you know, cramming those into the dishwasher to get those out of sight. And then maybe grabbing the vacuum and not vacuuming the whole floor, but just run it a line or two. So, you know, you've got a line or two there to look like it's been vacuumed. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where you suddenly had company come over to your house, but maybe I don't know, maybe your house is immaculate and it just always is clean. It's always in great condition and it wouldn't be a problem for you. Well, speaking of having someone over to look at your house, when we sold our last townhome, we worked what seemed like for years, I mean literally, to get this house ready to sell. Painting and, you know, putting up some trim around the house to spruce it up a little bit, new flooring and landscaping. We, you know, fixed bathrooms up and scrubbed them to get them nice and clean. I remember thinking, man, this place is ready to fly off the market. I mean, this place looks good. But then Pastor, I remember, recommended, well, yeah, I understand, but why don't you have the real estate agent come over in order to have sort of a third-person perspective and give you some advice in terms of, you know, preparation for selling your home. I'm thinking, Pastor, I have been working on this house forever. It's ready. I don't need anybody. But you know what? Pastor's very well. I'm going to have, do what he says. I'll have the real estate agent over. And, you know, I remember as we were walking around the house, I was just, my jaw just dropped at all the different things he was finding that we just didn't notice. We didn't see these things. And, you know, by the time he got done, I'm thinking it's going to take another couple years to get the house ready for the market. But, you know, spiritually, we may think that our house is in great condition, that our homes, our families are in great condition. But, you know, each one of us needs tonight to invite the Holy Spirit over to give us a third-person opinion of what changes he might recommend for our families. I want to ask you this question tonight, which is the title of my message. What's the condition of your home? What's the condition of your home? And you know, it doesn't matter if you're a husband tonight or a wife, if you're a son or a daughter. The fact of the matter is we all play a part in our families. We all have a part in our homes. We all have a responsibility when it comes to its condition. And when and if the Holy Spirit tonight points out some need for repairs in your home, you must fix your home up for Jesus Christ's sake. Tonight, I want us to look at the condition of a home that's in ruin here in Proverbs chapter 24 so that we can learn three lessons that we can apply to the condition of our own spiritual homes before it gets too late. Notice the first observation here in the scriptures. If we're going to have a home that is functional for God, we need a discipline to work. We need a discipline to work. You know, it takes work to have the right kind of home. It takes work to have the right kind of marriage. It takes work to raise the right kind of kids. It takes work to be the right kind of mom, the right kind of dad. Look here, several of the verses that were given, the description here of someone who is lazy. We see in verse 30, it says, I went by the house of the slothful. And then if you skip down to verse 33, it's really all about someone who's lazy. It says, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. Now, when I look at that, I realize this isn't just someone who's totally given up. It's a little sleep. It's a little slumber. It's a little folding of the hands to sleep, as it says there. And I think all of us can be guilty of a little lack of this in our homes, or a little need for repair here or there. Maybe we've let things slide in our lives because we haven't been as disciplined to work on some things when it comes to our lives and our homes. So, you know, you've got to be willing to put some effort into it. And boy, it's worth it for your homes, isn't it? It's worth it to put the effort in that we ought to. Many homes are in a state of ruin because family members just aren't willing to put out any effort to make home improvements. Now, I'm not going to lie, fixing up your house is hard work. And, you know, the fact of the matter is, though, it's worth it. It's worth it to fix your house up. I like to take before and after shots, you know, just to remind yourself of what it was like before and what it's like afterwards. And, you know, sometimes we need to pause and just thank God, you know, for the spiritual growth that we see in our spouse. And thank God for the spiritual growth that we see in our kids. And be encouraged in those pictures, so to speak, of growth. But we also need to stop and analyze where are some areas that we need more growth. Where are some areas that we need some more change in our lives? Well, let me give you a couple points of advice, and I hope this is just real practical for you tonight. But some advice when it comes to fixing up your home and this idea of being a hard worker, disciplined to work on your home. A, get some help for the work. Get some help for the work. You know, I don't think it's lazy to ask for help. Now, obviously, you ask someone to do it and you don't work at all. That's lazy, okay? But there's nothing wrong with asking for someone to help you as you work on something. I think sometimes we get frustrated because the job seems too big. You just get overwhelmed when you think about something that needs to get taken care of. And sometimes we can look at our homes spiritually and we can start to get overwhelmed feeling. And as a result, it sort of lets our slothful side take over. Well, it's just too much to handle. I'm just going to let it go. I mean, have you ever tried to do certain things on your own, maybe remodeling in your house? Boy, it sure is nice to have some help. And I've got three kids that are getting older. It sure is nice to have some older boys. I mean, there's certain things that it's just almost impossible to do as you remodel in your house. But you get another hand, and boy, it just makes a big difference. But you know what? Psalm 127 in verse 1 tells us we have the help we need in order to have the homes God wants us to have. Because it says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. And let me tell you something. You've got all the help you need in the Lord. He is the master builder of homes. Now, he's not going to do it all for you. You're going to have to work alongside the Lord. But the Lord will help you build your house. If you do it on your own, the Bible says it's in vain. It's not going to work. But if you do it with him, it makes all the difference. From time to time, you know, I get myself in over my head. If I admit it, I probably do that a little more frequently than not. But I remember one time I hired Bill Simon. You remember Brother Bill Simon? He moved down to Florida. I hired him to help me. And I remember it was a project that had I actually done it myself, it would have taken me weeks to get this thing done. But I mean, Bill Simon came in and he had this thing done probably in less than an hour. He was amazing how quick he could do something and how well he could do it. It just makes a difference when you get the right kind of help. Hey, isn't YouTube a blessing? I mean, I know it could be a curse in some ways, but man, YouTube is. I remember when I first got married and trying to, you know, start doing remodeling things. I remember going to Home Depot and buying the Home Depot 1, 2, 3 on how to do all these things. And, you know, looking at the illustration, is this right? Is that how that's supposed to work? Man, YouTube's a blessing. Now, you know, you got to be careful. You might get someone who's not really demonstrating the right thing. And so I tend to watch a couple different videos to make sure I'm checking myself. But boy, what a blessing. Let me tell you, the best help you'll ever find for your home is right here in God's Word. Boy, the advice and the wisdom that's here for us, the help that God wants to give you in order to build your home. But are you taking advantage of it? Are you finding, it takes some work, but are you searching and are you diligently finding things that are going to help your home out? What some of us need to do tonight is to get down on our knees and beg God to help us as we work on our homes. you know, get some help for the work, but, you know, also spread the work out. Rather than, you know, a little sleep or a little slumber here or there, how about a little work here or a little work there? One thing I like to do is instead of, you know, trying to get everything done in one sitting, I'll just come home and I'll work on a project a little bit here, and then I'll come home the next day, I'll work, and it's a little less stressful, it's a little less pressure. And I know what it's like. You come home from a hard day of work and you're tired, you know? Let me tell you something. Our families are worth the work. I come home, I'm like a lot of guys, I want to sit down and relax. And I saw this, my wife showed me a Facebook picture, I think it was today or yesterday, and it really illustrates well what I think a lot of us parents feel like. It showed the picture of the parents' room door, and it showed like everybody outside the door. The dog was there, you know, the kids were all lined up there. And sometimes you might feel like, boy, there's never a minute's rest. But you know what? We can't be slothful when it comes to our family. And even though I'm open up to you today, tonight, I'm honest, I come home sometimes I'm just tired and I really don't want to deal with certain things. And yet, boy, that's really the most important thing to deal with, isn't it? We go and we work hard in our jobs. How hard are we working when it comes to our families? How disciplined are we when it comes to working on our home? You know, so working here a little bit and there a little bit, I think that's what the Bible teaches. Turn over, hold your finger here and turn to Deuteronomy 6, chapter 6, and we'll look at verses 6 or 7. Pardon my voice, I'm still getting over some sickness, so I apologize for having to listen to me here. But Deuteronomy chapter 6, you know, I think God intends for us to be doing work on our homes here a little bit and there a little bit. Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 through 7 tells us this, "And these words, which I command thee this day, shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." You know, God wants us to be constantly working a little bit here and a little bit there on our homes, but instead of constantly having a discipline to work on our house, our spiritual house, here a little and there a little, I think sometimes we wait till things come to a head. And then there's this big disrepair, and we panic, and we overreact, and then we get overwhelmed, and we throw our hands up, and we give up. The slothful man takes over. As we conclude this point, let me just mention some simple things that you can do on a regular basis to help your homes. Number one, hey, this is real simple and something I think all of us can do, but be in church regularly. Now, I'm preaching to the choir, so to speak, tonight. It was a threat of weather, and you guys are here on a Sunday night. And so, you know, I realize I'm talking to some people that are probably very faithful in their church attendance. But you know, it's important. I thank God for my parents who had me at church every time the doors were open. Sunday school, Sunday morning service, Sunday night service, Wednesday night service, missions conference, revival, and any other chance there was, youth group activities. Boy, that made a difference in my life. And just that constant hearing the word of God and that constant God working in my heart, what a difference that made. You know, you can make a lot of difference in your home by just being in church on a regular basis. And number two, have a regular time in God's word together as a family. Hey, look, I realize it gets busy. Our family, you know, we're getting ready for ODACs and the school and midterms are coming up and my wife's working on her master's paper and I've got a mission trip I just got back from. We've got a lot of things. We're like a lot of Northern Virginia families, right? We're all very busy. Well, hey, that's even more reason why we need to make it a point to make sure that we're spending time on a regular basis together in the Word of God. Hey, it doesn't have to be a three-point sermon, but just get something from God's Word together and spend some time in prayer. Spend some time singing together. We've been trying to do that a little bit more as a family. And just have a time of worship and growth with the Lord in your own home. Hey, number three, communicate with your children about their relationship with God. You know, parents need to have a pulse on the heartbeat of where your child is at spiritually. And you know, maybe you checked their pulse out when they were 5 and 6 years old and you were working with them spiritually, but now they're 10, 11, and 12, and 13. And maybe they had a heart that was just tender to the Lord when they were 6, but how's their heart now? Do you have a pulse on how your child's heart is doing? takes time. It takes a little bit of work. It takes some communication. Hey, pray for your families on a regular basis. Look, wow, I never thought about that before, right? But they're things that if we're not careful, we let a little bit of laziness slip in and we're not disciplined in the things that are going to make our families really a success for the Lord Jesus Christ. So we've seen that in order to have a successful home, you have to have a discipline to work. Notice number two in our passage, not only a discipline to work, but a desire for wisdom. A desire for wisdom. Not only do we see someone who's lazy in these verses, but we also see someone who isn't willing to learn. Notice in verse 30, it says, I went by the vineyard of the man who? That's void of understanding. Of course, this is an unteachable attitude, and it's contrasted then with a different attitude that we find in verse 32, where he says, then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. You see, you have to be willing to learn some things if you're going to have a family that's successful. You need to gain some wisdom on the home. Now, notice here some simple ways to gain wisdom for your home. And again, just real practical, and I don't think these are mind-blowing points, but I hope they're help. Number one, ask for wisdom. When it comes to your family and when it comes to your home, ask God for wisdom. Do it on a regular basis. I don't think as Christians we take advantage of this promise as much as we ought to. But James 1 in verse 5, you don't have to turn there, but listen to the scriptures. If any of you lack wisdom, hey, I don't know about you, parent. You ever been there? Ah, what do I do? Where's Brother Scott? You know, he's not answering his phone. You know, I know it's 1 a.m, but he's not answering his phone. Hey, the Lord's there. And he's waiting for us to come and ask for wisdom. I thank God for Brother Scott. I thank God for godly counsel and for helpers when it comes to advice, you know, with regard to our families. Thank God for Pastor and Brother Jeremy. But you know what? We have a God who promises us when we lack wisdom, if we ask for it, he'll give it to us. Boy, what a great confidence that ought to give us. And he says he gives it to us liberally. And upbraid it not, it will be given to you. But we just don't take advantage of that promise like we ought to. Perhaps the number one reason that most people do not have wisdom is because they don't ask for it. And isn't that laziness? You know, if God's promised you something and you just don't take advantage of it, you let it go by the wayside. Notice some simple ways to gain wisdom for your home tonight. First of all, you know, we need to make sure that we go to the Lord and ask him for wisdom. Sometimes we're looking for something profound when the answer is really just something simple. But notice secondly, seek for wisdom. Look at verse 32. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. And I think seeking for wisdom is a little bit, they're connected, but I think it's a little different from asking for wisdom. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 1 talks about how we seek for wisdom. It says, through desire, a man having separated himself seeketh and intermingleth with all wisdom. And so you ask for wisdom, but then it's a little more work. You go a little bit further and you seek for wisdom. You separate yourself, as the verse says there. You intermeddle with wisdom. You're spending time with people that are wise. You're spending time in God's word looking for wisdom. You know, in Northern Virginia, we have a lot of different hobbies that we get involved in. A lot of pastimes. A lot of things that we like to spend our time doing. Can I encourage you, make your home your main hobby. Make your home your main pastime. Don't get so distracted with things outside your home that you end up like this guy here in Proverbs chapter 24 and your house ends up in disrepair. Well, how can we do this? Again, just some real simple things tonight. Number one, hey, read some good books on the home. There's some great books that I think offer a lot of good advice dealing in some real specific areas. Maybe you're wondering about how to handle technology when it comes to your family and to your home. There's some great books on that. I know Brother Scott would love to recommend, and I appreciate the fact that they've got a book table in the youth group, and we'll be getting ready to have a teen meeting here coming up where we get together with the teens as parents, and they're often offering us these. Take advantage of these resources. I know Brother Jeremy is a great resource for good books when it comes to the home. Get some good books and read some books. Get some wisdom. Glean some wisdom from others You know, number two, get in a good Sunday school class. Yeah, Sunday school is a great opportunity to be in a smaller environment, in a teaching environment, where oftentimes there are some lessons that where a teacher gets a chance to deal specifically with some issues on the home. And I tell you, if you don't have the opportunity or you haven't yet begun to be faithful in a Sunday school class, 9 o'clock on Sunday morning, there's some great classes to get involved in to get some wisdom when it comes to your home. And then participate in church activities for the home. We often have a couples conference where we get together once a year and we spend some time working on our marriages. And it's a fun time. I always look forward to it. And the food's always great. We always have a great speaker in. We usually have some good skits. It's just, boy, if you've ever been to one, it's a great time. And it's a great opportunity to work on your marriage. And so as a church, we try to provide different, you know, activities. We have a parent meeting on a regular basis. And boy, you know, I enjoy the advice that Brother Scott passes on to us as parents in a lot of those meetings. And so take advantage of these different opportunities in our church to grow when it comes to the home. Hey, look at families that are doing a good job and ask them for advice. Now if you ask for advice, be willing to be teachable about those things, right? But ask some others that are doing it right. Find out what they're doing and glean some wisdom from them. Hey, spend some time with your spouse brainstorming. You know, when's the last time you sat down and said, hey, honey, how do you think we're doing as a family? How do you think things are going when it comes to our marriage? I mean, make a little, you know, questionnaire and, you know, answer it for each other and look, you know, afterwards look at each other's answers and then talk about it. You know, there's a lot of things you can do. I think it's just getting to doing it. And I think it's taking advantage of the things that are going to bring wisdom into our lives when it comes to our family. So we've seen that in order to have a successful home, you need to have a discipline to work. And you got to have a desire for wisdom. But notice in conclusion, number three, we see in our passage here a dedication to watch. I think the Bible here is talking about an awareness. But I think awareness is one of the words that's sorely missing in a lot of homes, even Christian homes. But it's something that we desperately need. And we see in verse 31 here, exposes some problems that had taken place over time, but that had gone unnoticed because there was a lack of awareness. Notice there, verse 31, and lo, it was all grown over with thorns. And nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then verse 34, we see a warning given to those who are unaware. It says, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. You know, someone who comes and takes something from you, someone who's not aware, and so as a result, something is stolen from them. So a lack of awareness. You have to be willing to be aware about some things. My wife is doing her thesis paper on technology and its effect on students. And it's been really interesting. She's been sharing with me some different things, have been having to read a lot of books, and been really interesting some of the things that she's been sharing with me. One girl she was reading about got a cell phone at the age 13. Now, this is probably a couple years back. I can't imagine how it is even today. But by the time she was 15, her parents started noticing circles under her eyes. And they noticed a growing obsession with energy drinks. And that's probably just, you know, somewhat of a teenage fad, but there was a reason for it here. She was never seen without her phone. Her parents were starting to notice. And when they went and finally checked the phone bill, they noticed that she was sending some 4,500 texts per month at all hours of the day. You know, whether it's technology or friends, parents, if we're not careful, we're not aware enough. You know, we give out these devices and we let kids, you know, have some of these things, but it's very unwise if we let those go unchecked and unfiltered. You know, there's some real simple things you can do to help with that. And I know Brother Scott, myself, Brother Jeremy, we'd love to help you with some of those real practical things. You ever have a question about that? I mean, there's a great thing on the Apple phone called FaceTime that you can limit how long your kids are on certain apps and what apps they're allowed to get on. It's really a blessing. And to make sure they're not on it, you know, in their room at night by themselves and different things like that. You know, and I know we got to teach them how to use it and help them to grow. But to give them a responsibility and be aware about these things in their life. And what about friends? How aware are you of the friends that your kids have and the spiritual influence or lack thereof that those friends might be having? Are you aware of the things that they're looking at on the internet? Are you aware of things that they might be getting interested in, and things that they might be watching on TV and movies, and how deeply their interests are getting in some of those things? Some things at a surface level might be harmless and innocent, but as you dig deeper into it, it may not be something that a Christian should ever get involved in that kind of depth. And so being aware, well, here's some things I think that we can work at. Number one, be watchful of backsliding. Be watchful of backsliding. How did this field get grown over with thorns and nettles? It didn't happen overnight. It happened slowly. It happened over a process of time. You know, most disrepair doesn't happen overnight per se. Now, from time to time, you know, someone might just break something all of a sudden, and you know, those things do happen. But for the most part, a lot of these things happen over time. Sometimes at a rate that's so slow, we don't necessarily notice it. You know, we need to be going to the Lord and say, God, give me spiritual eyes to see the things in our life where maybe there's some backsliding, where there's some regression when it comes to our spiritual lives in our home. Most of us as parents, unfortunately, are not aware enough. But, you know, I hear parents who criticize other parents who are trying to be aware, and they say, well, they're just too sheltering. Hey, I don't find that in the Bible. I don't find a too sheltering. I find that God wants us to be aware. And I don't feel like I can be aware enough a lot of times when it comes to my family. But are we putting an emphasis on understanding and knowing what's going on in the lives of those that we're closest to? Hey, look, we get one shot at this thing, right? By God's grace, let's get it right. We ought to be more aware. Hey, it might be a little disrespect to our parents over time that creeps in. Might be a little bickering back and forth as a spouse. Maybe a little negativity. It might be a little picking on siblings back and forth to where it gets out of hand eventually. Might be a little bad influence of a friend here or there. But I just know that the old devil loves to slip things in and to get us to where we go backwards slowly but surely in our personal spiritual lives and then eventually in our homes. So watching out for backsliding. What started as a little spiritual crack has now become a gaping spiritual hole. Recently, we're thinking about selling our house, and so we're back in the process of looking for all these things. And I don't know how I missed this, but I was coming in one day, and you've got those black railings that go up your front stairs. I looked down, and I mean, the whole front bottom portion of my black railing is totally rusted with this big old hole in it. I don't know how I never saw that, and now I'm trying to figure out, okay, how I'm going to fix this thing, you know? But if we're not careful, again, we're not aware, and we don't see the things that creep in our lives. Well, you know, the old devil is subtle. The Bible says he's a roaring lion. And you know, a lion doesn't always announce his attack, does he? He likes to creep up until finally he pounces on his prey. Be sober, the Bible says, though. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And I want to remind you tonight, fathers, there's an old devil that wants to eat your home up. There's an old devil that wants to destroy your children. Moms, there's an old devil that wants to destroy your marriages. Boy, we need to be alert. We need to be aware. But watchful of backsliding, but also watchful of forgetting. And sometimes because we had worked really hard at something in the past, we tend to assume that it will go on in that same condition as we go on over time. I think it's illustrated here in the stone wall that's broken down. You think of a stone wall, you think of something that's more permanent, right? Something that you expect to last for a long time. But even something like a stone wall can eventually, with lack of awareness, come to disrepair. And I don't think I'm looking tonight here at a bunch of families that are just totally in disrepair. I think I'm looking at a lot of families that have some stone walls that are built. And there's some great foundations. But over time, even the strongest of families can find those walls getting cracks in them. if we're not aware. And we can't assume that certain successes in our past spiritually as a family are just going to stay that way. There needs to be an awareness of where are we at today spiritually. You know, I think it helps when we repeat spiritual principles to our kids. Deuteronomy 4 and verse 9, back to that passage. You don't have to turn there, but it says, "Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons." I think there's a principle here of repetition. You know, we say as teachers, repetition is the aid to learning. And you know, sometimes I'm remiss, and I think, you know, I mentioned that to my kids, and I realized, oh, that was 6 years ago. You know, it's time to repeat some of these things. It's time to check where their learning is and where they're at with some of these things. And maybe some things have been forgotten. Spiritual repetition is definitely going to help us in our families. Deuteronomy 6, 8 through 9, "And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates." Boy, you can't repeat spiritual things enough. And so we need to maintain spiritual habits in our life. Again, this is where making church a spiritual priority is important in our lives, because it's going to help us hearing time and time and time the preaching of the Word of God. I love this passage, and we'll close with this. Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, if you would. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. It talks about the teaching and the preaching of God's Word being a stabilizing repetition in our lives. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Notice in verse 9. "And moreover, because the preacher was wise," and thank God for a wise preacher. I'm so thankful for our pastor and the great example that he's personally given me for his faithfulness in delivering the Word of God through the years. "But because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge." You know, I'm thankful for a pastor who preaches the Word of God and not just opinions. I think you can find a lot of churches that they're preaching things, but not necessarily the Word of God. I'm thankful for Temple Baptist Church, where God's Word is preached and we receive wisdom and knowledge. "Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright." Now notice the effect of these words that are given and that are repeated in the preaching of God's Word. It says, "Even words of truth, the words of the wise are as goads." A goad is something that, for instance, a shepherd would use to prod the animal, to get going, to move. And you know, sometimes we need a preacher to step on our toes and to prod us, to get us going a little bit spiritually, don't we? But I noticed the second thing there, "and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd." You know what a nail does? It puts something in a spot where it ought to be, and it helps it to stay there. You know, we need spiritual repetition in our lives. We need the preaching of God's Word and the teaching of God's Word to get us in the spiritual place where God wants us, to get us in God's will and to keep us there. It's what our families, it's what our homes need tonight. A dedication to watch. I don't watch a lot of TV, but if you caught me watching something, you might catch me watching HGTV. How many watch HGTV? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay, good, good. I'm not the only one. It can be a little addictive, I'll be honest with you. I get watching it, and it's interesting for me because I do like remodeling homes and whatnot. I like shows like Property Brothers, you know, Flip or Flop, House Hunters, Fixer Upper. I really like the show Love It or List It, even though it's like the same thing over and over again every time with a different couple. You know, I'm always amazed, though, at the result when someone invests some money wisely into renovating their home. I mean, they might put $20,000 out, and then, you know, it turns around, and now it's worth $80,000 more. That's pretty fascinating when it's invested properly. Well, tonight, folks, if you'll partner up with the Lord, if you'll invest in some wise renovation when it comes to your spiritual home, you will be shocked at the value that you'll get in return. Tonight, what's the condition of your home? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Tonight we've seen that in order to have a successful home, you need to have a discipline to work. How hard have you been working to improve your family? Hey, kids, it's not for you to depend on your parents to do everything. It's partly your responsibility as well. Fathers, everything rises and falls on leadership. How are we doing when it comes to leading our homes? Mothers, boy, you can't talk about enough the influence of a mom who's on her knees praying for a family, who's providing a godly example, but are we putting out the effort that we ought to be? Hey, a desire for wisdom. What are you doing to glean wisdom on improving your family? Wisdom's there for the taking. Are you taking advantage of these sources to help your home? And then a dedication to watch. Simply put, are you aware when it comes to the condition of your home? And maybe tonight you need to come and lay your family on this old-fashioned altar before the Lord and say, God, would you send your spirit to our home? And would you point out its condition to us? And Lord, whatever you show us, we want to take care of that. We want to get that taken care of so that we can have a home that's successful for you. In just a moment, we're going to sing a song of invitation. If God's spoken to your heart about your home, I want to encourage you to come. Father, I thank you for the instruction you gave us here in this passage. Lord, thank you that we can learn from these mistakes and not have to go through them ourselves. Thank you for the wisdom of your word. Father, help us to put the effort out in order to have successful homes. Lord, help us to seek wisdom and to ask for it, Lord. Help us to be diligent, to watch and be aware of the condition of our home. Would you do a work in our hearts that only you can do, and in our homes? In Jesus' name, amen.